Welcome back to another episode of the Shout at the Devils podcast. I'm Daniel Lamoya. I write for the Hockey Writers and run Devils Report on Instagram. And I'm here alongside Justin Brady, who runs Devils Fanatics on Instagram, as well as writes for Jersey Sporting News. So the New Jersey Devils season has officially concluded 38, 39, and 5. I think you would have all said some not nice things to us if we told you that in October. It was really just a perfect storm of everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And now here we are today. The Devils finished below 500. Very, very underwhelming season. Post-game interviews last night against the Islanders, who they lost. It was 5-1, right? Final score?
4-1.
4-1,
Four
because the goal got
one.
overturned. But still, the Islanders clinched at the Rock. The Devils went home and are ready to hit the golf courses early because it was really just an unfortunate season. Like I said, perfect storm. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. So, bottom line is the season's over with. It's probably not the way anyone wanted it to go. But how did the Devils move from here? Tom Fitzgerald was asked about some of these things last night on MSG Networks during the pregame. And he didn't give too much food for thought, but he gave a little. One of the first things he said was that he is interested and currently talking with the camp of Curtis McDermott, trying to bring him back as a Devil next season. Justin, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm okay with it. I mean, McDermott proved he could be a good enforcer, something that this team lacked of for years and years. So I'm all for bringing McDermott back as long as it's like a 1 year, very cheap contract, maybe minimum deal or something like that. I'm all for having him back because, I mean, that Devils Rangers game where everybody brawled, that's just like a moment that is going to go down in NHL history. And that all stemmed from McDermott's dislike of Matt Rempe. So I mean that was a great moment. It's nice to have a guy that could stand up for your big time players, like a guy like Jack Hughes or Jesper Bratt. McDermott proved that he could be that guy. So I'm all for bringing him back. He doesn't have to be a guy in the lineup every single night, but on nights when you need him and when you're going against a physical team, I'm all for having McDermott back on a cheap contract.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you. A big talking point has been that the Devils have lacked toughness. Travis Green even said it himself last night. He said there are some guys on this team that not only have to be mentally tougher, but have to be physically tougher as well. That's interesting that he just straight up came out and said that. I agree personally. The Devils, they do lack a lot of toughness. We saw it a lot this season. There wasn't much pushing and shoving, and that they kind of played what you'd call a quote unquote soft game all season, aside from maybe one or two games. The beginning of that Rangers game, again led by Curtis McDermott, and the Chicago game at home in
Yeah, that
January.
game was insane. Oh my God,
Yeah,
everybody was
but
throwing haymakers. That was fun.
aside from that, like, there really wasn't much. So McDermott brings that. He's one of arguably the best fighter in the league. He's very, very big. What's he, 6'5", I think? And I mean, the Devils need someone like that who they can slot into the lineup. Like you said, cheap deal. I'm pretty sure his contract is league minimum now. He doesn't bring much offense or defense, really. He's just a role player. And that's a role that the Devils could benefit from having him in the lineup at certain points next season. I'm not saying I think he should play all 82 games, but there are times when you need to set a precedent, or you're playing a tougher team, like, say, the Florida Panthers or the Ottawa Senators with Brady Tkachuk, where you need someone there to counter that. And McDermott has shown his willingness to answer the bell and do that. He's talked a lot about the respect in the game, the respect he has for other fighters, how everything went down with Matt Rempe and the Rangers. I thought McDermott handled himself very well during all of that. So, like, this is still a very young team. Travis Green said it. We all know it, regardless of the fact that, like, you could still be disappointed in the outcome of the season while still admitting that it's a very young team and they have lessons to learn. And with that, they're not going to be the toughest. And that's where McDermott could step in and be kind of be that enforcer role, especially if Brendan Smith is going to depart, which we don't know, but he is getting up there in age. We don't know what the next step is going to be for him. So that's a role that I think McDermott handled very well, and moving forward could definitely improve the team in that regard. Another thing Tom Fitzgerald talked about is that Travis Green is not definitely out. He is still a potential candidate for the head coaching job next season, but Fitzgerald said he owes it to the team to look externally, which is an interesting little comment there. But it's true. I mean, the players, after everything they've been through, they deserve a top-end coach, whether that's Travis Green. I personally wouldn't make that my decision if I was Tom Fitzgerald. I don't think the Devils played that well under Green. That's nothing against him. I thought he was okay. He wasn't horrible, but I think the Devils could definitely use better. We'll get more into that during the offseason, obviously, potential candidates and stuff like that as reports come out. But Green's not completely out. They're looking at him. So we'll see where that goes. We're going to talk about some other storylines here, but none other than probably the biggest one, or arguably the biggest one, how Tom Fitzgerald said the Devils are going to go big game hunting in the offseason and search for that number one goalie, likely via trade. So, Justin, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, they need a goaltender desperately. I really liked what they did at the trade deadline, believe it or not. Bringing in Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen were very two underrated moves. And these guys really performed well. Kähkönen, yeah, their records might not correlate with how they performed. But as a goaltender, I don't think you can look at a record and judge them based off of that. You look at their numbers, and they put up pretty solid numbers, both goalies. They won the Devils a few games that usually they would not win. It's nice to get some wins from a goaltender for a change. And yeah, both of these guys, Jake Allen, obviously he's past 30 years old now. I don't know how to feel about him. Kähkönen, still 27 years old, still has some promise in the NHL to be a number one goaltender with some team. I don't know if that's even gonna happen though. Yeah, Kähkönen's on his last year was on his last year of the deal, so it looks like he's coming out. He's going to sign with another team unless the Devils somehow bring him back. I don't know if they would. But Fitzgerald in that presser that he did post-trade deadline made it clear that he thinks Jake Allen's going to be their backup goalie next season, or a quote-unquote 1B goalie. So I'm all for that. I liked how Jake Allen performed, but now it's the they need that 1A goalie. That's the big thing. Is it going to be Linus Ullmark? Is it going to be Juuse Saros? Is it going to be Jacob Markstrom? I don't know who it's going to be, but a deal has to be struck. They're going to have a top 10 draft pick for this year's draft. They had the draft capital to make it happen. They could even throw in a draft prospect, even if they want to. They have the tools to make the deal happen. The only thing I will say is I'm a little hesitant on Jacob Markstrom now because what is he, like 34 years old? I'm a little hesitant on that. I know Saros is like 31. I'm not sure about Ullmark. I just don't want them to get a goalie that could be possibly washed up by the time they get him. That's my only concern right now, but they have to make a deal for whoever it is. It's definitely going to be an upgrade of what they had this season. That's most important.
Yeah, for I mean, like I said, we'll get more into this in the off season, but Saros is 28. So for me, he's that target. Markstrom is 34. I think the Devils need longevity here. Saros has that proven track record. And yes, the price is going to be steep, but like you said, the Devils have the capital to do it. So I don't think that should be too much of an issue because that's something the Devils need. However, two things. One, with that being said, the Devils goaltending post deadline was phenomenal, and their outcomes in terms of the standings were essentially the same. So I think we saw that while, yes, goaltending is obviously very important, fixing the goaltending doesn't solve the entirety of the issues, like even I at one point originally thought. There are other holes, which we will get into. Secondly, and I know we talked about this on a previous episode, I also wrote an article about how Kaapo Kähkönen deserved just as much of a shot as Jake Allen at that 1B role. Kähkönen's numbers were better than Allen. That's not saying that Allen performed badly because he was still, I think he was like 907. So
That's
that's
pretty
solid
good.
stuff. That's
Yep.
solid stuff. But Kaapo Kähkönen, 923 save percentage as a Devil. That's phenomenal. His goals against average was 2.51. That was over a half goal less than Allen. 11 goals against on 15.26 expected goals against. And he had a 912 high danger save percentage. His high danger save percentage was about 30 points higher than Vitek Vanacek's overall save percentage as a devil. I mean, it was such a breath of fresh air. The Islanders game was a perfect example. The one in the on the island where Kakkonen shut them out, the only shutout the Devils had this season, by the way. I mean, there were so many like glorious grade A chances that the Islanders had. The deserve to win o meter said the Islanders should have ran away with that game. And Kakkonen just shut the door. He's capable of doing that. And a lot of people didn't realize that because he was a member of the San Jose Sharks, who are at this point in time really kind of a sorry excuse for a hockey team. They have a long way to go before their rebuild is over. So that they left Kakkonen out to dry so much. And even just heading to the Devils, who don't have a great defense themselves this season at least, but were better than the Sharks, we saw a massive uptick in Kakkonen's numbers. And we always knew the underlying stuff was there. His high danger save percentage with the Sharks was, I believe, second or third best in the league. He's now looking to finish the league as the third best goalie in terms of high danger save percentage. And considering the defense is young and they're still making those mistakes that translate into those higher end opportunities, a guy like Kakkonen is someone that I feel like the Devils might end up regretting possibly letting him go. And it seems like that's what it's going to be. However, Fitzgerald did walk his initial comments back a little bit last night. He said he hasn't ruled out Kakkonen not being back next season, where initially he made it seem like that was 100%. So maybe he's overthinking that. I don't know. Kakkonen's also younger than Allen. And I mean, he showed this season that he's capable of handling at least a backup role. So it's going to be interesting. I think since Allen has one more year on his deal, that they're still going to end up with him. But I think that's a decision that the Devils could end up regretting because Kaapo Kakkonen as a Devil really was lights out. And if you don't
Yeah, I
believe
saw.
me, the numbers speak for it. 923 save percentage. That's elite.
Yeah, I want to chime in. I think Kakkonen should be their 1B goalie next season. It doesn't mean that's going to happen. No, because based on contract, like you said, Daniel, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But I mean, you could very well move Jake Allen, make a quick trade for a draft pick or something like that, and re-sign Kaapo Kakkonen to a 2 or 3 year deal. And he wouldn't be that expensive either. I think you get him on a 2 year contract with like a 3 million per year salary or something like that, maybe even less. So I would bring back Kakkonen. The age, I mean, obviously that's a big difference. We're talking about 27 to 34 years old. That's a big difference right there. And I thought Kakkonen was the better goalie, not to diminish Jake Allen, because I thought he came in and really delivered for the Devils on many games this season. So that's going to be definitely an interesting storyline to look at this season. Who's going to be the Devils' backup goalie? But most importantly, who's going to be the Devils' number one goalie? So, I mean, this could go many different ways. I'm excited to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I believe the league average save percentage right now is 898. That's what Kakkonen was, and that's playing a majority of his games with the Sharks. And like I said, those high danger numbers, that's what's really important with a young team like the Devils, and Kakkonen was phenomenal. So, like you said, we'll see what shakes up with that. But bottom line is, we also need to acknowledge that the defense needs to play better in front of the netminders. We saw that once the Devils got good goaltending, there were still many issues, a lot of breakdowns, stuff like that. And yes, that goes to having a young team. Bottom line is, we know as a fact, Simone Nemitz, Luke Hughes, and Dougie Hamilton will be stapled to the blue line next season if they're all healthy. That's not a question. Luke Hughes, I think, I know he had plenty of mistakes, but that was expected. We all know that was going to happen. His play did improve as time goes on. You saw him being able to adapt. The power play got so much better after some really bad stretches. He's learning, but he had, I want to say, over double. Yeah, he did have over double the points that Jack Hughes had his rookie season, and Luke's a defenseman. Jack wasn't.
Now, yeah,
So,
Luke Hughes had 47 points in his rookie season, which was the most of out of all the rookie defensemen this year. And Jack Hughes only put up 21 points in his rookie year. So, I mean, and also, one thing I want to note, Luke Hughes played all 82 games. That's
that's
pretty impressive
important.
for a rookie.
Yeah,
Impressive.
especially coming straight from college where you haven't had that sort of workload. And I think that's another reason why we saw, because his play started off well, then really took a dive. You could see the fatigue and all that was setting in, but then he collected himself, and I think he had a very solid end to his season. I posted a clip against who was their recent road game?
Was it Toronto Rangers?
I think it was Toronto, where Luke Hughes just like stay. Oh no, it was in Philly. Sorry, it was Noah Cates. Noah Cates was coming in the zone with the puck, and Luke Hughes just took the body, stapled him to the boards, and crunched him. Took the puck back, and that's something even 15 games ago that Luke Hughes wasn't doing, but he's learning how to use his body more. He's obviously gonna likely gain muscle in the off season. His speed alone is lethal. The tools are clearly there, and I know it's hard to be patient. I know it was a frustrating season if you're a Devils fan, but bottom line is Luke Hughes, just like his brother Quinn, is going to be an elite defenseman in this league, and we saw the tools there. 45 point or 47 points as a rookie defenseman. I mean, that is insanely impressive, and he's not getting enough credit for that. That broke the Devils franchise record for defensemen, rookie defenseman, passing Will Butcher and Scott Niedermeyer. So, with that being said, that leaves three other defensemen: Jonas Siegenthaler, John Marino, and there were some other guys
Kevin
in
Ball.
and out.
Kevin Ball.
Kevin Ball, yes, but there's also Brendan Smith,
Brendan
Santeri
Smith.
Hatako was there for a while, Nick DeSimone. So they're going to have some decisions to make. Are they going to roll with Marino, Siegenthaler, and Ball all in the lineup next season? We don't know. All of them had questionable seasons at best. Siegenthaler was bad. I mean, like, his play this season was just a shell of how he was as one of the better defensive defensemen in the league last year and even 2 seasons before that, where he was really just a shutdown guy, and injuries did play a big role, so we don't know if that was the sole reason, but since he signed that big contract extension, his play has just decreased each season, and he doesn't bring a lot of offense to the table, so the Devils need him to be that shutdown guy, and when he's not doing it, he's just a complete liability defensively. So that's something that hasn't been talked about enough. Then hopefully for the Devil's sake, it was just injuries that did him in, and he's gonna come back and have a much stronger season. But that's for them to evaluate this offseason. Furthermore, John Marino, while he was shaky at best himself, he definitely decreased in his play compared to last season, which a lot of players did. But he's still, offense wise, he'll give you more than Kevin Ball will. He'll give you more than Jonas Siegenthaler will. He had, I think, like 27 points this season. That's solid as someone who's not a top pairing defenseman, that showing that he could chip in from time to time. He's not lighting up anything offensively, but he's chipping in, and that's something that the Devils need. So I think they'll value that. And Kevin Ball is almost, in a sense, just a frustrating case in the sense that the tools are there. You see him have some games, like a reference one against the Boston Bruins when the Devils won at home in overtime earlier in the season, where Ball just played basically the entire night against David Pastrnak's line and completely shut them down. And so you've seen him do it in the past, but he still, for his size, I don't think throws his body around as much as he could. And he's just inconsistent in his play, and he's still young himself. I want to say he's like 23 years
23
old.
years old.
So that's the thing with such a young team, it's hard to evaluate, and you don't want to cut the cord too early on guys like Ball, but you also want to evaluate in the sense that is this someone who's capable of being the guy we need him to be for the future? Because the future really is now. The Devils have locked all these guys up to extensions. They need to figure it out. Like, this is, I've seen many people say, reporters included, that this is the biggest Devils offseason in over a decade. And I would tend to agree because they had that franchise record season, just took a massive, massive step backwards. So defenseman wise, they're gonna have to figure it out. We'll get more into it in the offseason. Someone I'd like to see them re-sign, Nick DeSimone. He's gonna be cheap, probably on a two-way deal. When DeSimone was paired against Luke Hughes, they were able to shelter his minutes a little more, get some favorable matchups, and the underlying numbers show that they're one of the best. It's very small sample size, so I'm not saying Nick DeSimone is the best defenseman in the NHL, But that pairing, DeSimone and Hughes together, was one of the best pairings in the NHL. Again, like I said, small sample size, but they completely dominated play. And oftentimes they'd play so well for a 2-3 game stretch, and then they get broken up, and Luke Hughes would be paired with Brendan Smith, where his numbers just fall off a cliff. So the fact that they were able, and DeSimone himself played pretty well, but the fact that he was able to complement Hughes's game so well, I think says a lot. So if they're able to bring him back on a cheap deal, that could end up paying dividends, because it's not a, yes, you need superstars, which the Devils do have them, but you also need depth players and role players and guys who are going to fill in when you need them to. And I think DeSimone more than proved that he should get that opportunity. So.
I'm gonna say I do think the Devils should bring in one defenseman in free agency. I would like it to be more of a veteran type of guy on a 2-3 year deal. A guy that has proven himself in the league that he could be a lockdown defenseman on that top four, maybe even a top six role for the blue line. The Devils have their offensive guys on the blue line. They have Dougie Hamilton. He's gonna be healthy next season. That's big. Luke Hughes is only gonna get better. I'm losing my voice as I'm talking. Simone Nemec, he's only going to get better with time. And I think he could be an elite defenseman along with Luke Hughes. And 3, 4 years down the line, you're going to have two elite defensemen who are very young, in my opinion, at least. So that's a great thing to have. I do think they lack some physicality on the blue line. Like you said, Kevin Ball, I think he lacks confidence. For his size, I don't think he uses it enough. And I feel like very oftenly, the puck is getting behind him, and that's because he's not the fastest, obviously. So I do think he needs to work on his game. Marino, I still have a lot of hope for Marino. And Siegenthaler, yeah, he's had a bit of a down year, but I have confidence that he can get back to his normal play if he stays healthy. Obviously, these are all opinions. I don't know what's actually going to happen, but I do think the Devils do have to make a move. I don't know who comes out. I don't know if Kevin Ball comes out. I don't know if Siegenthaler comes out. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do think the Devils could use another veteran defenseman who has proven himself. I don't mind giving them a good amount of money if it's a guy that can really come in and shape up this blue line. Sometimes it just takes one guy to help really shape up everything. Then you could pair the guys together and get them the right playing time that they deserve. So who knows? Put a veteran deep pairing with a veteran guy with Luke Hughes or Simone Nemec. Or even with Dougie Hamilton, because he struggled defensively in his first 20 or so games before he got injured. So I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out. But I do think a move has to be made. At least one. That's all I think that needs to be made. Because I don't want to shave up too much because they still have a very good young core on the blue line that has a lot of potential the next 2, 3 years.
Yeah, I don't disagree. The only thing is with, and the cap's supposed to go up, but not a ton. And it's going to be very tough to, with all these recent contract extensions, knowing the fact that Nemitz and Hughes are going to have to be extended, Dawson Mercer as well, who possibly if they don't trade him, but we'll get into that. That goes all, that all circles back to the fact that this is the biggest offseason for the Devils in a long time. So they're going to have a lot of number crunching to do. This is one of those scenarios where I'm glad I'm not a member of that front office, because
Right. Yep.
building a team in chill doesn't compare to what the Devils have to do right now. It's a lot of work. They're really going to have to figure it out. And it might come down to the fact that, look, we can't fill every hole we want to, but we're going to do everything we can to make sure the most important holes are plugged, and we'll find ways to work around the rest of them. Because I think that's what their philosophy will be, because it might not be possible to do everything they want to just simply because of the cap, and other teams are in that boat as well.
Very
So.
true. I will say it's this offseason's about not making the big splash. Like they've done that in the past. They've made the big splashes with Dougie Hamilton, with Timo Meier. They've made these big splashes, whether it's trade or free agency. It's about making the right moves. They already have the core. They have the core of Timo Meier, Jack Hughes, Jesper Bratt, Nico Hischier. They have the core on their blue line of Dougie Hamilton, Luke Hughes, Simone Nemec. They have the core guys that are going to lead them into the future. It's about putting the pieces around them. Help support this team going forward. It's about making the right move and putting these guys in the good and the correct roles that they should be in. So that's how I view this offseason.
Yeah, I agree. So one thing they're going to have to explore is in terms of potentially freeing up some cap is whether they want to extend Dawson Mercer or not. He had a down year, 33 points in 82 games. However, 20 of them were goals, so he's still a 20 goal scorer. That's valuable to a team.
Good.
He's a solid penalty killer as well. Kind of does everything well. And though the offense did take a hit this season, and I think a good portion of that has to do with his horrible start. He didn't have a single point in his first 10 games. So that kind of skews the numbers a little bit, but regardless, still a down year. Me personally, I think the Devils would regret not extending him. He's a restricted free agent, so they have the leverage. He had a down year, so that might drive the price down a bit. And while he maybe may not take that next step offensively, like last season when he scored 27 goals, and a lot of people, me included, thought he could potentially be a perennial 30 goal scorer. Maybe that won't be the case. Maybe he doesn't have those tools, but he's still a very valuable player. And like we've mentioned, he stays healthy. He has not missed an NHL game in his career. He's played 246, which is 82 times three, all three seasons, never missed a game. So that's very important to a team. Health is everything, as we saw with the Devils this season. So many injuries. I need to look up the stat to see what the amount of man games lost was. I know it was well over 200 at one point, all the injuries combined, but that was a while ago. So it's definitely higher than that now. But regardless, you need those depth players. You need guys who are going to chip in and kind of do all the little things right. And Dawson Mercer is one of those players. So yes, like I said, down year offensively. If he's put in a trade for, say, someone like Brady Tkachuk, in theory, who knows? But then that's a thing to visit. But if there's no lucrative trade offers where you're like, okay, we know the player we are trading Dawson Mercer for is going to make this team infinitely better, then he's a player that has to stay. And like I said, I think it could kind of be a blessing in disguise in this tight cap world where, since his point total went from 56 last season to 33 this season, that price is going to go down a lot, and maybe he bounces back and you get him for less term. The fan
Yeah.
base, it seems to me, is very supportive of Mercer. They absolutely love him in New Jersey. So that could definitely play a role as well. He seemed appreciative of it. So that's another thing. We'll see where that goes. But I personally believe it's in the Devil's best interest to extend Dawson Mercer.
I would bring him back too, and I do want to note Dawson Mercer is not a player that's going to drive play for a line. And last year, Dawson Mercer was able to get to 56 points because of the players surrounded by him. He was on that Nico Hischier, Tomas Tatar line in that first line last season. And that was one of the best lines of all of the NHL. And then in the playoffs, he was with what, Hala and Palat for the majority of the Rangers series in Carolina. So I think it really depends on who he's playing with. Like for a lot of the season, he was playing, I don't want to say like scrubs, but offensively, scrubs. He's playing with Tomas Nosek's not going to benefit Dawson Mercer at all. You know, like I just don't get that. And it's just the truth. Dawson Mercer needs to be surrounded by players that could help drive play. Nico Hischier is one of those guys. Jack Hughes could be one of those guys. Timo Meier has proven that he could be one of those guys now who could drive play. So I would like to see Dawson Mercer, and if he does get re-signed, in a better role where he can benefit off of other players, because he could prove he could put the puck in the back of the net. It's just about being surrounded by the guys. And that's what this offseason is all about. These players have to be put in the right roles to help them succeed going forward. And that's what last season they did perfectly. They put all these players in the correct roles, and they were able to benefit. They were able to play the best hockey they could. This season, I didn't see that as much. So I feel like Mercer has to be put in a better role if he is to be brought back. I hope he gets brought back because I think he has a lot of potential to even grow his game from going forward. So, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with just the way the entire team was deployed. I mean, no lines really were consistent the entire season. Yes, injuries play a part of that, but even when the team was mostly healthy down the stretch, I mean, the lines change every night, even by the period, not just by the game. I mean, I want to say nearly every game under Travis Green, the lines were shuffled at some point during the game, and That's something I asked Travis Green about a couple weeks ago. Is consistency in the line something you hope to get? And he said, ideally, yes, that's always the goal when you put a line together. And that's great, but I personally just didn't see that. And I believe the Devils, in terms of forward lines use the most out of any team in the National Hockey League. And there were other teams with a lot of injuries as well. So you always want that consistency, like Green said. And that's something, if you want to build a winning team long term, you need lines that are going to stick together. So if Mercer can get those line mates again, like he had last season, I really think he has a chance to put up another maybe close to 60 points like he did last season. So we'll see where the Devils go with that. Another quick thing while we're on the topic of why this season just failed so miserably. The starts to the games was a huge thing. Was it, I think, 57 times out of 82 games they gave up the first goal of the game, digging an instant hole for themselves, which makes it difficult to climb out of when you're not starting on the right foot. I believe basically every player interviewed after the game mentioned the starts, as well as Travis Green. And that goes to being a young team to a certain extent, but they're just way, way, way too talented to constantly be shooting themselves in the foot every single time a game starts. And that's something Jesper Bratt referenced in his post game. He said, talent isn't everything. You still need to know how to do the right thing and perform when it matters. And so, yes, they are extremely talented, but they didn't get the job done. I'll make an analogy to any baseball fans, the San Diego Padres last season. All the talent in the world, absolutely loaded with superstar names, and couldn't get it done. Even the Rangers, to an extent, last season in the playoffs, so much talent and just couldn't get it done. So while it's great to have talent on the team, there's so much more that goes into it that doesn't translate to standings results. And we see that this season where the Devils lost, what, five, six more games than they won, which is just absurd after they won 53, I think, a season ago. So that's something they have to figure out. And even last season in their franchise record season, they still gave up the first goal more than they scored it. So always playing from behind, and that was bound to catch them, and it did catch them this season.
Yeah, one word I would use to describe this devil season is immaturity. That's I feel like that's the best way you could put this devil season with the goals given up to start the game off. 57 out of 82 times, which was the most out of all NHL teams. That's
It
unacceptable.
almost broke the all-time record.
I know, I think they were like one short, right? Or something like
One
that.
short of the Abs for the modern day, and I think it was like the 1960 Capitals that gave it up 60 times. So
Jeez.
not good territory, period.
Not at all. And somehow they still finished with 38 wins on the season. So, I mean, they know the talent's there, but it's about being able to play cohesively together, winning together. And that team didn't have that this season. They had so many issues on the blue line, goaltending. They couldn't string wins together. They couldn't get a win streak of three or more, or four or more, I should say. They've gotten a win. They had a win streak of like three wins, like twice. That was it this season. They didn't get three or more wins consecutively in all of 2024. It's a lot of immaturity I saw from this team, a lot of dumb mistakes that obviously they wish they could take back. And obviously, look, it's a young team, but at some point, something just has to click. This team is so talented, and they just have to figure it out going forward here. They cannot use, oh, I don't want to hear the excuse next season. Oh, yeah, we're a young team. This team has a lot to go, it's a lot to figure it out. We're in a win now mode, and I still view it because I think this team could bounce back and be a really good team next season. They got to stop with the excuse of this is a young team. They got to figure it out at some point in time. So we'll see how it plays out, but they definitely lacked a lot of maturity this season, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the team's exit interviews go. Those should be taking place soon, I believe.
Pretty soon, yep.
Just to really see, because yeah, they got a few players after the Islanders game. They got three of them. But just for the whole team to measure their pulse, see where they're at, see where their confidence level is. And to me, I can't speak for them, but I personally feel as if it should almost kind of be a relief that the season is over now. For them, it's kind of like, okay, like that was a bump we needed to hit, or unfortunately, it was a bump that we hit. And it taught us a lesson, and now we need to go from there. Nico Hischier described the feeling as feeling empty inside, and that's understandable. I mean, he's the captain of the team. He bears a lot of responsibility, and I'm not saying it's his fault per se, but he knows that the feeling sucks, and it's a matter of how they bounce back. There's been plenty of teams in history who have had a great season, missed the playoffs the next season, and then went on a long run the season after that. And am I saying that's definitely going to happen with the Devils? I have no clue, but the talent's there. So if they're able to figure it all out, we know they're talented enough to do it. So that they just got to plug all those little holes. There's always a little luck involved with health, but regardless, they, even if they were fully healthy, just the stuff that was going on this season, it wasn't a recipe for consistent winning. So aside from that, all the doom and gloom, there's a couple more positive storylines that still exist, even though the regular season has ended. I'm going to start out actually with Seamus Casey. His season ended in Michigan. He was one of the better college defensemen in the entire sport. This was his sophomore season. He was over a point per game. He's supposed to be a dynamic force for the New Jersey Devils on the blue line, a very crowded blue line though. So we're not quite sure where Seamus Casey fits right now. In an ideal world, he's when Dougie Hamilton is ready to move on, he's the successor, but Hamilton should have some good years left in him. Knock on wood if you're a Devils fan, but it's going to be interesting. Seamus Casey hasn't signed his entry-level contract like a lot of his Michigan teammates have. We just saw Frank Naser sign with the Chicago Blackhawks and score in his first game against the Carolina Hurricanes. So no word yet from Seamus's camp, but it's going to be very interesting because I would say he's far and away the Devils' number one prospect right now.
Yes, he is.
And he definitely holds some immense trade value. Tom Fitzgerald himself said, actually, on the Spin Chicklets podcast in the summer, that a lot of GMs called about Seamus Casey, and reasonably so, because he seems like he could be that true dynamic offensive force. So it's just kind of a waiting game now. At some point, there's going to have to be some announcement. It's either he's going to go back to Michigan for a year, he's going to sign an entry level contract. There's a possibility he could still play. I think Utica has like two games left, so there's a possibility he could sign for them. But if not, there's still a possibility next season. Maybe he starts next season in the AHL, and we'll see. But I think there's definitely at least a decent chance of Casey being traded just because of that value he has. And if the Devils are going big game hunting, for as much as it may hurt, Casey might be someone they have to part with. So we'll see where that goes. Something to keep an eye on for sure. Obviously, Justin and I will be posting about that if anything comes of it. Also, the IIHF, International Ice Hockey Federation World Championships are slated to start on May 12th, I believe, in Czechia. And in previous years, they happen every year. It hasn't been that great of a tournament exactly. There's been a lot of AHLers, minor leaguers, players from overseas who fill the roster. I know Team USA last year, their defensemen had a combined like 34 points, all seven defensemen in the NHL. This season, entirely different narrative with the upcoming Four Nations face-off and Olympics. There's supposed to be a ton of NHL participation. Connor Bedard is already going to Team Canada. Sidney Crosby is likely going as long as the Penguins miss the playoffs. We'll see where that goes. As for Team USA and the Devils, Luke Hughes has already committed to Team USA, looking to chase gold, which they haven't won since, I think, 1960. But they usually don't send many NHLers, so it could be a completely different storyline. I know Johnny Gaudreau's going, Cole Caulfield, Trevor Zegras, Zach Werenski, Tage Thompson. That's just off the top of my head, and many more players will commit soon. So there are going to be a lot of NHLers in this tournament, and it's going to make for some pretty exciting hockey because the NHL hasn't had best on best hockey since what was the 2014 Olympics, I think. So that's going to be really awesome to watch. As for candidates from the Devils who can still join, we know as a fact right now that Nico Hischier and Timo Meier are both likely to play for Team Switzerland. They just have to evaluate their health, and I'm sure, as they normally do in exit interviews, they will tell us whether they are participating or not. But I would expect both of them, as long as the health checks out, to be there for Team Switzerland and compete for gold. Some other names, Jesper Bratt has competed there in the past for Sweden, but I think it was in 2019. He's obviously one of Sweden's better players. If they're set on sending NHLers like most countries are, Jesper Bratt certainly deserves to be there. He could be a great offensive force for them. By the way, over a point per game for Jesper Bratt this season. Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, definitely clap it up for Jesper. Erik Haula possibly for Finland, Andre Palat for Czechia playing in front of his home country. That could happen. Jack Hughes might have even been a possibility if he wasn't getting surgery. So that just shows that really no one is off the table here. When you have these big names competing like Connor Bedard, like Sidney Crosby, anyone can come to this tournament and make it really put themselves out there on the international stage and do some awesome things, because international ha hockey is such a treat, and it's unfortunate that we haven't gotten best on best, but now that the worlds are going to start, we should get fairly close to it. It's not going to be the same thing as the Olympics, because obviously if a team is still in the playoffs, their players won't be able to join until they're eliminated, but it's still going to be some great hockey to watch. I'm probably oh Alexander Holtz actually could possibly join Team Sweden. He's represented them in the past at the World U18s and the World Junior tournaments. There's probably a few others I'm missing. Akira Schmid and Jonas Siegenthaler are both possibilities for Team Switzerland. There's probably a few that are slipping my head, but regardless, just stay tuned to all our socials, because we will announce that and be posting their highlights and stuff like that, and how to watch the game, stuff like that. Because the world's is really shaping up to be a great tournament, and it could be a momentum builder. These players, obviously, they're frustrated with how the season ended in Jersey, and it gives them a chance to channel that, retool some
Exactly.
things in their play, and still finish the season on a strong note and maybe improve that confidence coming in. Tyler Toffoli was the captain of Team Canada last season. They ended up winning gold, and he hit the ground running this season. So that's just an example. Really, anything could happen. International play in any sport is crazy. Crazy things happen. Players love playing for the pride of their country, and we should get some pretty awesome results, hopefully, out of that. And especially if Nico Hischier's going for Team Switzerland, that gives him a chance to just forget about this season, just go out there and play hockey. So we'll see how that all goes, but it's definitely a storyline to watch despite how the season ended. Some positivity coming out of that. That's another one. Dawson Mercer could definitely potentially play for Team Canada. He represented them in the 2022 tournament, I believe.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that can be in this tournament, and it'd be a good opportunity for them to play some competitive hockey come April. Obviously, they're not going to be in the playoffs, unfortunately, but it's good to keep their feet moving, keep it going, and the chance to play for your country is one of the best feelings in the whole world. And to even win a gold medal or a silver medal, whatever it is, it's a great opportunity for these young players, especially like a guy like Luke Hughes. So we'll see what happens there. I just before we wrap up this episode, I do want to end it on a positive note. This team has a lot of promise going forward. Yeah, this is just a bump in the road. I believe this team will be back, not to maybe like how they were 2 years ago, but I think they will be back to being playing competitive hockey. They will be a playoff team next season. I don't know what's going to happen this offseason, but there's a lot of positives. Timo Meier, absolutely amazing finish to this season. And it just shows that when he's fully healthy, he is one of the best players or best goal scorers in the NHL, hands down. He finished the month of March with the as the leading goal scorer of all players in the NHL, and finished like I think it was like 17 goals in his last like 23 games or
It was
24,
something like
something like
that.
that.
He was
It was
on
that
fire.
he was on fire. Jesper Bratt over a point per game pace. That's great to see. That means he's developing. We signed him long term. That's what you love to see out of a young player. Nico Hischier. I think in his last 24 games, he had 28 points over a point per game pace. He was playing really stellar hockey in the last stretch of the season. And obviously, Jack Hughes and Dougie Hamilton. Yeah, Jack Hughes battled so many injuries this season. And it was so clear that he was battling those injuries because His play decreased a little bit. And to get him back fully healthy going into next season is important. Getting Dougie Hamilton back fully healthy is important. The core is there. The Devils have the core. It's just how they build around it. And I really believe this team will be back to winning hockey come again this season. This is just a bump in the road. And this might be the best thing that has happened to this team. A bump in the road like this could really propel a team going forward. So it definitely checks their egos, no doubt about it. And the Devils just have to use this as motivation. And going forward, who knows what could happen? I'm really confident about this team going into next season. Believe it or not, I know it's not how many people are feeling, but I'm very positive and confident about this team going forward. They have the potential, they have the core guys. I'm pretty confident in this team going forward.
Yeah, I understand where your emotion lies there with feeling confident. They definitely do have the talent, like we've said. With that being said, though, I'm not going to say anything until Tom Fitzgerald makes the moves that he's saying he's going to make, because, like we said so many times, this is a ginormous offseason for the Devils, and they can't afford to mess it up and set themselves back. So once those moves are made, then we could evaluate more clearly. But until then, we're just going to have to wait it out. We have a long summer of talking about all sorts of coaching candidates and acquisitions and stuff like that. By the way, Brady Tkachuk is also one going to Worlds. He slipped my mind. Potential Devils teammate. Never know. Who
I don't
knows?
know. That's what Mike Rupp said. I mean, that's a long shot, but who knows? Maybe that's a storyline that comes out of nowhere, possibly. We'll see
Yeah,
how that plays out.
I mean, if they want toughness, there you go. But
Exactly.
seriously, thank you all for sticking with us with our socials and all that. We know it wasn't the outcome any of you wanted, but hopefully the Devils are able to rebuild this offseason, or I can't even say rebuild, retool, plug the holes
Retool,
they
yeah.
need to, and go from there. So we appreciate all of your support with this podcast. We'll have much more consistent content over the summer with all possible scenarios of what can happen, any updates and stuff like that. Now that school is over, well, almost over for both of us, it will be in the off season. So we'll be able to churn out that content, do some engaging stuff, and hopefully the Devils hit the ground running next season. Like you said, Justin, this was a necessary road bump for them. So we appreciate all your support. Thank you all for listening to the Shout at the Devils podcast, and we will see you next episode. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Shout at the Devils by your hosts, Justin Brady and Daniel Amoya. As always, let's go, Devils, baby! Woo!